Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. And none of us is sufficient to grasp hold of the full wonder of it. Lord, I'm certainly not sufficient to communicate these things, but you are. You've given us your word, and you've sent your angels as heralds before us. You foretold these things for hundreds, yes, thousands of years by your prophets. And in the fullness of time, you've given the gift of this precious child who is none other than the Word of God veiled in the flesh. We thank you for giving your Son and for loving us beyond our wildest comprehension. You love us to such a degree that you, Lord Jesus, would stand up from your throne and step down into this earth. No wonder the angels looked on and they tried to grasp these things. We are thankful for all that you've given, our earthly gifts, of course. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon this small return that we make to you. We pray that it would be a small reflection of your love for us and that the recipient would be truly blessed and encouraged in Christ. Pray, Lord, that you would be receiving this time that we are spending before you, that you would be honored, that we desire here to hear your word, to submit to it, to embrace it. And now, Lord, we ask that we would be nourished by it. Please use your broken vessel to minister the joy of Christmas, who is Christ the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This year, what I want to do is, I expect it'll be very short. You may have noticed they expanded the other part of the service just a touch, in part because of this. But what I want to do is take you to a passage that I have to admit for myself, I neglect too much. It's a veritable treasure chest, and it's historically been called the Magnificat. That comes from Latin, and really all that means, it's Mary's song of praise in response to the revelation. Before it even happened, of course, for her, it was as good as done because God had spoken. And so this passage is Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 45. This is Mary's response to the revelation of the coming of Christ within her and also at Elizabeth, rejoicing in that same thing. And when Elizabeth, she has just said, blessed is the one who's believed the word spoken. And now Mary erupts, if you will, with this. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Obviously, Mary here is overflowing with praise to and joy in God. And isn't that to be expected? After all, we can't fully grasp it, but we can attempt to explain as God has spoken to us. What Mary experienced was extraordinary, a blessing that is unreplicated in many respects in history. Now, admittedly, even before I get too much into this, I have to say that, you know, there are some who go way too far in what they say about Mary and venerating her. That's true. We don't go that way. And yet, what Mary says is absolutely true. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. And in the feebleness of my own language, I try to communicate with you. Can you feel something of the weight of it? Mary was visited by a messenger from God, and she was given a special revelation about the coming of the Christ, and sometimes I think we fail to grasp what that really means. She was being told about the fulfillment of history, you understand, that all of the promises of God that had been given for ages are now being brought to completion, are being met in her. She's being told that she will be visited by the Holy Spirit with power from on high, and that though she is a virgin, she will conceive, and she will have life growing within her. And of course, you guys understand, not just any life, though precious they always are, but the very life of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords conceived in her, that she would bear the very Lord of glory, the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the very Son of God, the fulfillment of all of the scriptures, would be born in her. She would be united to him in a profound way, and that life that she has would be shared with him in ways that are even beyond our description. She carried him, and the Lord abided in her. It's no wonder, right, that Mary would erupt in a song of praise and thanksgiving and joy to God. And yes, her experiences were entirely unique, as I already said. No one before her ever bore the Christ physically in this way, and no one after her ever will. Because those events were the turning point of history. It's finished, as Jesus said, and now we're just waiting until he comes again, and we are in those last days. But I want you to understand, as far as I can communicate it, and in the end it's the Spirit that helps us, I want you to realize that Mary's experiences, though, in many respects, are not entirely unique. You know what I'm saying? In other words, Mary's experience is shared by many. Let me put it to you in more spiritual terms. All of us here, we either brought our own copy or it's in front of you, and we have multiple copies at home, access to the scriptures online in all various forms. We have special revelation from God. The very messengers of God throughout history giving the words of the Christ, and now the fulfillment of that and the full light of this gospel has been shown forth, and it's all here. We are supremely blessed in this nation to have the copies all over the place and at our fingertips. We have the very special revelation of the Christ. It's been given. The Holy Spirit, you understand, still comes upon people with power. In this way, the Holy Spirit still causes the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will, to be born in the hearts of people. You understand what I'm saying? That the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords, by the working of the Spirit, causes people to be the dwelling place of the Lord God Almighty. The scriptures speak about this, that the Holy Spirit makes us into temples, individually and corporately, as a matter of fact, as part of a church. The Lord Jesus dwells in the midst of his people, and Jesus speaks about this in various ways himself, that he abides with them. He and us, us and him, and there's a profound, mysterious union, and I say mysterious because we cannot fully comprehend it, can we? But the Lord Jesus actually lives and in his people. He actually dwells within them. That life, the life of Christ born in the hearts of the people of God. That's why I drew your attention to that hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And I can't tell you how many times I passed over it without thinking twice. I suppose shame on me. But O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. And by the way, this is not just emotional, feel-good holiday rhetoric. This is reality. It's not physical, but it's real. A spiritual indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I wonder if you notice that even in Mary's song, in response to the things that God had said, even in her song, it wasn't all about her. Did you notice that she moves on from the personal personal reaction and says this starting in verse 50? And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Does that not remind many of us here of something that Jesus himself said, that this little child that was born, he spoke these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And of course, on he went. The point I'm trying to make is this in the end. If we humble ourselves, like Mary did, and we receive this special revelation about the Christ in the Word of God, and we believe these words that are spoken, when we believe in the Lord Jesus as revealed, then God, by his profound and powerful grace, the working of the Holy Spirit, will cause the Lord of glory to be born in us. His life becomes our life. The life that we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us, and of course, and gave himself for us, dying for our sins. All that to say this, we can share Mary's experience in profound ways, right? Not maybe physically, literally in that sense, right? Don't get me wrong. But we can. We can hear from the Lord these things and realize he has done wondrous things for me. We can join with Mary in recognizing his mercy is for all those who fear him and are humble before him. The Lord God satisfies the weak, exalts those of lowly estate, which leads me to say this directly. We can share Mary's experience in profound ways. Therefore, we can share her overflow of praise and her overflow of joy. I wish sometimes it were more constant. Right? But be assured, Christian, even if you've never believed, the Lord Jesus can be born in your heart. And if you already believe, ask him to renew you in that joy and in that praise this evening. I ask now if you'd pray with me again. Heavenly Father, thank you for your abounding grace. Thank you for the words of the Gospels, and for the reality of the gift of your Son, and the truth that all those who believe can have his life in them. Lord, I pray that all of us in this room would have Christ living in us, and that we would know the joy and overflow with praise that is spoken of in this passage before us. Be born in us today, Lord Jesus. Come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. I pray that you would use this word to be a soothing balm to the weak, to be a humbling for the proud, all that Jesus Christ, the incarnate one, would be glorified, and that we might enjoy him. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.